You're tuned to Closer Look here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Jim Burris.
And I'm Rose Scott. Jim, remember those Google glasses?
A little bit.
They didn't do so well for the consumer market, but they're getting a second life in manufacturing. In fact, our own Tasneem Shama reports one of the pioneers of this technology is ATCO. It's a company based in Metro Atlanta.
In Jackson, Minnesota, at one of ATCO's many factories, Heather Erickson is putting screws into an engine before it goes on the assembly line. She's wearing her red and black uniform over her blue jeans. And there's something else on her head, Google glasses.
Took a little getting used to it, but once I get used to it, it's just been awesome.
Awesome, because the glasses tell her what to do. Should she forget, for example, which part goes where?
I don't have to leave my area to go look at the computer every time I need to look up something.
With the Google glasses, she scans the serial number on the part she's working on. This brings up manuals, photos, or videos she may need. She can also use voice commands to leave notes for the next shift worker. It's sort of like the Pokemon Go for manufacturing. Just like the game, which involves catching fictional creatures, these Google glasses use augmented reality. Images, text, and sound are added to what you see in front of you. ATCO is based in Duluth, Georgia, but it has factories all over the world where it makes large tractors, chemical sprayers, and other farm equipment. Hans Bernd Feldmott is an ATCO exec.
In our biggest factories, we currently deal with 40,000 parts. That means a worker has to memorize 40 parts and how to assemble them, or he needs advice.
With Google Glasses, it's advice that's now sitting on their noses, and Feldmott estimates factory workers are about 3% more productive with them on. With 1,000 employees, he says that could translate to $1 million in savings. But for now, it's still in pilot mode. The company only has about 100 employees using the custom glasses. Each one costs about $2,000. Peggy Gulick is responsible for improving the business flow at ATCO. She says the addition of Google Glasses last summer has been a
total game changer.
She says quality checks are now 20% faster, and it's also great for on-the-job training of new employees. Before this,
we had a lot of tablets on our floor, and the tablets were being broken just by being dropped, and tractors are very tall machines when you're climbing on and off, and you only have one hand to climb with. So when we were looking for a solution that offered them more information in a more timely manner from a device that was really attached to them so that they couldn't lose it. It was there when they needed it.
Gulick says the company plans to double the number of Google glasses at its factories by the end of the year. Tasneem Shama, WABE News.
And Jim, I know you and Tasneem worked on this piece together. You had the chance to sit down with ATCO's chief supply officer, who we heard briefly in that piece. And I'm just curious, if ATCO is the first in its industry to use Google Glass, isn't there sort of all kinds of opportunity for problems, though? I mean,
you know, it would seem so, right? Anytime you have new technology, you have to work out the kinks. So I ask Hans Bernd Feldmott about this. What growing pains have you all experienced in implementing this technology?
None so far.
None?
No.
So employees, they get it. There's not been any issue with database communication, with the actual glasses themselves. Everything's been seamless?
Well, let's start with the database. When you run an operation today, a factory operation, you need work instructions. So they are designed with the new product which you designed. So these work instructions are present. They are there, whether you have Google Glass or not. You either communicate them via a monitor, or you print it out, or you communicate it via Google Glass. So not a big difference. Then it comes to the acceptance of Google Glass itself. And that is something with the people. And usually people, if you provide them with something which helps them in their daily life, they accept it and they like it. And even if you have some issues, they try to come over it and get along with it and learn it faster and accept maybe things and then get used to it. Now, when you ask me about Google Glass itself, I think everybody has heard about Google Glass years ago. It was launched and then it disappeared from the market slowly. And then I heard people saying Google Glass doesn't exist anymore, it's dead. In fact, it's not dead. It's not available for the public anymore, obviously. But it's redesigned. I think we are in the meantime the third generation. And it becomes more sophisticated, more usable every time. And I think there will be a day that people in factories or people who are running processes where they need advices, that they use Google Glass all the time.
How much do you does AGCO pay for one pair of Google Glass?
I think we pay around between $1,000 and $2,000.
That's not a small investment.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this really covers the cost of everything. But at the moment, it's more in a design phase and optimization phase. And I think everybody tries to get along with them is somehow. It's not a market price, let's say it that way.
It sounds like this is a well-kept secret. Are you afraid that what if your competitors do catch on? What if they start using this technology?
This is exactly a point I was asked before I came here. Should we communicate that? Should we go out? And I said yes, because we use it already. We have the experience. We implement it. Whoever wants to follow us can do it, but we'll be probably 3 or 4 years behind. And we will always be ahead.
Okay, so there's not going to be a big scuffle among tractor manufacturers.
We're all glad of that.
Won't be a dance-off or anything. So I'm glad we got that out of the way. But what else did y'all talk about?
Well, he wanted to make sure I understood what AGCO did, and he wanted to make sure I didn't think of today's agriculture machinery like I probably think of my grandfather's, you know, exhaust-spewing, rusted red tractor. In fact, Hans-Bert Veltmat instead told me that the company is both young and nimble.
Yeah, this company is just 26 years old. It's a very young company. And young companies are usually also technic-oriented. This is why we think we are technically ahead all the time. However, our brands, which are consolidated under our company, are up to 100 years old. And our company is leading edge when it comes to technology. And this sounds a little strange when you think about agricultural machineries, right? Because when people think about ag machines, it's low tech.
Or at least technology that's been around for a while.
Yeah, this has changed. The ag industry is today in many areas ahead when it comes to technology.
So, Rose, we're talking about revolutionary changes to things like transmissions. In fact, the ag industry pioneered, for example, the dual clutch and continually variable transmission. And you'll find those in cars ranging from Ferraris to Fords today.
So if someone out there is saying, wow, I don't think of technology and tractors, you know, being in the same big picture, but there is something special about the way the industry is utilizing tech.
There's a Google Glass component that Tasneem told us about, and that's just one part of the manufacturing side in terms of tech usage. Also, the industry doesn't use the traditional assembly line made popular by Ford more than a century ago. You might remember that grainy video from school of the unfinished automobile coming at the same point every time and that one worker putting on, for example, a wheel. Well, instead, parts come to assemblers using what's called an AGV, or an automated guided vehicle. It's like a remote-controlled shoebox. And in terms of the finished product, Rose, November, AGCO launched what it calls the biggest and most capable tractor on the market. These things are not cheap. $400,000, and it's autonomous.
Oh, so the farmer won't be behind the wheel? Like in Green Acres, you know, the opening...
Maybe not.
I don't like Green Acres, by the way.
Yeah, so a farmer could feasibly control this maybe from the breakfast table.
But it speeds up production, too.
It does, yeah. Absolutely. So there are definite benefits. And he says that they're working on technology that will allow farmers to program actually lots of small, little tractors, so to speak, instead of just one big one. As he describes it, these little robot tractors act like swarms of bees.
Let's take the planting. You go out and plant. The same machine goes out as a fertilization, but not everywhere, just where it planted before the seed and not in the neighborhood. And also provide the watering at the same time. It may even drop the wheat down, which is growing up in the neighborhood and shouldn't be there. And this will be a much more dedicated farming with less fertilization and higher productivity.
When will that come to market, do you think?
I have no idea, but I think within the next 10 years.
Wow. That could revolutionize farming, no?
Yeah, it will. It will.
All right, Jim Burr is speaking with Hans Bernd Veltmat. He's AGCO's chief supply officer, and they manufacture machinery under brands like Challenger, Fendt, GSI, and Massey Ferguson. Its North American headquarters is actually right up the road in Duluth. Good piece there. I'm still intrigued by the non-farmer driving tractor.
We'll have to go out and find one. Maybe do a story on it.
If they're $400,000, I don't know if anyone would just let us climb aboard and just check it out.
Never hurts to ask, right?
Good story. Technology. Thanks. Good stuff.